Okay, well, good morning. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I promise not to go over my time and keep you from your lunch or your adventure this afternoon. But this afternoon, I'd like to discuss a little bit of the research that we've done quantifying the effect of volumetric water content and organic matter content specifically on off-target herbicide injury. And this, as you will see, is framed within the context of applying herbicides in a turf setting and affecting adjacent ornamental species. So just a couple of examples here. This is, in the top right, is a picture of damage that we've seen recently on oak species. Of course, metsulfuron is the culprit here, metsulfuron being a sulfonylurea herbicide that's widely used, has been used for a number of years in all facets of agricultural commodities, including specialty crops. And it's also used to control oak species in pine plantations. So we have to be careful when using it in close proximity to certain ornamentals, and in this case, certain woody species. And the bottom picture is actually a pre-herbicide, namely endazoplam, moving down slope into a overseeded area, overseeded with perennial ryegrass. Again, a lot of this work is framed around both environmental and off-target injury, specifically in turf settings. So again, the objectives were to quantify the effect of soil moisture and organic matter content on plant injury, both from a movement and an uptake standpoint, as well as a environmental standpoint. So we frame this work around choosing, in this case, five different herbicides: aminocyclopyrachlor, which is trade name Imprelis, and turf, which was registered for a very short period of time. Again, metsulfuron methyl, which goes by many trade names, and endazoplam being Spectacle or Durango or Esplanade in roadside settings, flumioxazin being SureGuard and fluroxypyr, of course, being a synthetic auxin and being included in many pre-mixes used in turf. Again, we frame it around the water solubility as well as the organic carbon sorption coefficient or its affinity to bind to organic carbon. So we picked herbicides based on varying physical and chemical properties. And again, these are the properties that we'll hone in on later in the presentation. So this work was done using bioindicator species. So for aminocyclopyrachlor, fluroxypyr, and metsulfuron, we used sunflower, and for flumioxazin and endazoplam, we used a mustard species based on preliminary results showing a susceptibility to these products. For the volumetric water content, you can read the specific details here, but the water contents evaluated, including wilting in this particular soil, including wilting point, which was 12%, field capacity 25%, and saturation, which was 40%. Again, this being a sandy loam soil. For the organic matter content, of course, we used a sand-based soil with the native organic matter content of 0.5% organic matter. We amended with 1 and 4% sphagnum peat to end up with 1.5 or 4.5% organic matter content. For data collection, again, this was used a bioindicator species type of experiment, so we rated visual injury as well as plant height, as well as total fresh and dry above ground biomass at various times after treatment. It was a completely randomized design with four replicates and two runs of the experiment. The data were subjected to ANOVA, and of course the means were separated according to Fisher's protected LSD at the 0.05 level. Getting into some of the results, the first slide that I'll show is the herbicide by volumetric water content interaction. Again, within this particular soil, wilting point was 12%, field capacity was 25%, and volumetric water content, saturation was 40% volumetric water content. And again, across here is aminocyclopyrachlor, metsulfuron, fluroxypyr, endazoplam, and flumioxazin. And, of course, the take-home message is that as volumetric water content increases, and this is visual injury, we'll have biomass on the next slide, but visual injury here, as volumetric water content increases, as you would expect, injury increases. However, it varies by compound. And with Feroxapyr, again, as you see here, with a relatively low water solubility and a relatively high organic carbon binding coefficient, you don't see separation with the varying volumetric water content. Whereas in Dazaflam, which is moderately water soluble, moderately adsorbed to organic carbon in soil, again, you get a clear separation. And again, this is using various bioindicator species to tease apart the effect of both the herbicide uptake as well as the as well as its effect on growth. Much the same with flumioxazin, again, as volumetric water content increased. And again, with Indazaflam and flumioxazin, as you approached saturation, and again, these were compared to the non-treated within each replicate. So, you know, as you get with Indazaflam and flumioxazin, as you approach saturation with susceptible species, you know, you get complete plant loss or complete plant injury. Biomass, and this is percent, so this is inversely presented, if you will, looking at percent of the non-treated. Again, the same trends with Feroxapyr. Again, you see a little bit of a difference here when we look at biomass compared to when we saw injury, where it was numerically separated but not statistically. Again, with Feroxapyr, as you approach saturation, again, you do get a separation. But again, with Indazaflam and flumioxazin, again, this is dry above-ground biomass presented 21 days after treatment. Here, again, you get a clear separation with varying volumetric water content. And these are just some pictures showing, again, the non-treated here. And, of course, you get a growth response just based on volumetric water content. But, again, the treatments are compared to the non-treated within a replicate and within volumetric water content, so that was quote-unquote normalized for. And again, Indazaflam and flumioxazin here, we saw complete plant death or nearly 100% injury at saturation. Looking at the sunflowers with metsulfuron, again, aminocyclopyrachlor, Feroxapyr. Again, with Feroxapyr, again, relatively low water solubility, and a relatively high organic carbon sorption coefficient. Again, we don't get separation within the varying volumetric water contents. As for organic matter content, so the main effect of organic matter, as you, and this was, again was to simulate age of a turf system. So 0.5% organic matter being a relatively new turf system, whereas, you know, and you can get higher than this, but 4.5 to 10% organic matter, as you see in systems that are, you know, 100 years old of a perennial turf grass systems where you've had continual deposition of clippings and organic matter breakdown. So, again, as you see here, you know, between 1.5 and 4.5% organic matter content, we did not see an effect as far as biomass of the different herbicides. But in low organic matter systems, again, to simulate relatively new plantings or young perennial systems, turf systems, again, we saw an increase in injury or a decrease in the percent biomass relative to the non-treated. Again, when we look at the main effect of herbicides, again, it you know, not as we know, not all herbicides are created equally. And again, this was done based on preliminary studies to identify specific susceptible species. But even within susceptible species, we still get a separation, which again is not alarming, but still it must be accounted for. And again, when we look at it from the standpoint of organic matter with the different species, or excuse me, different herbicides, the organic matter content, as we got, and it, you know, we didn't have to get to 4.5% organic matter. In many cases, 1.5% really reduced the off-target uptake and off-target injury with the compounds that we evaluated. Again, with 0.5%, which is, you know, extremely low organic matter, even in a turf system, again, we did see objectionable injury. And metsulfuron, again, you know, we've been called on a lot of complaints with that recently, and we've tried to tease apart the differences. And the reality of it is that it depends on a host of things, but again, metsulfuron being extremely efficacious on broadleaf plants and even woody species. So, I mean, we even got objectionable injury, again, as we approached higher organic matter contents. And aminocyclopyrachlor, again, you may pose the question, well, why would you all include this? It was registered in turf for a very short period of time. It will not be registered again in turf or in ornamentals, which is probably true. However, it is currently registered in other areas, including non-croplands and utility rights-of-ways, et cetera, which has adjacent ornamental and or woody species. So in conclusion, intuitively, as we suspected, as you increase the water solubility and increase soil volumetric water content, as you select compounds of increasing water solubility and as you increase volumetric water content, you increased off-target herbicide injury. At the wilting point, there was highly water-soluble compounds, which may injure desirable plants. As you decrease soil organic matter content, again, intuitively, the off-target herbicide uptake and injury was increased. And metsulfuron injury occurred across all volumetric water contents and organic matter contents, which, you know, it begs the question, can you safely use metsulfuron in areas where you have ornamental species and or woody species in close proximity? Again, best management practices can be devised based on herbicide attributes. Again, this was largely focused on water solubility of a particular compound as well as organic carbon or soil sorption affinity. And what it allows us to do is to extrapolate results from this work and extrapolate it to other compounds to, again, potentially identify problems that may be potentially identify compounds that may be problematic. Another side of this, of course, you also have the plant susceptibility component, but also herbicide bioavailability may be increased in soils with low organic matter content, as a lot of herbicides have at least a moderate affinity for organic carbon. So at this time, if there's any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them. Yes. Excellent question. So how did we create the three levels of volumetric water content? We did it by weight, and we syringed water onto the soil and allowed it to equilibrate prior to herbicide application. And the herbicide applications were applied. Yeah, that's a great question. Herbicides were applied via syringe to the soil surface. They did not come in contact with the foliage. They were, yes. And in an effort to normalize that, we compared the treatments to the non-treated within a volumetric water content regime. Other questions or comments? Thank you.